I would like to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 20 one more time. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, in which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy is of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This guy, Peter, he's referring back, if you'd read a few verses earlier, he's making a reference to a couple of ideas that he's proclaiming. He's saying the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Old Testament are extremely important. People, the Old Testament people, the Jewish people of that day, were reading the prophets and going, wow, Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. He said that He was the Messiah, and His death, burial, and resurrection are just part of it. But there's time and time again that the deaf would hear, that the blind would see, that the lame would walk, that He would feed the people, that He would be like a rising star bringing forth light into darkness. The Gentiles would be drawn to Him. And as they read these Old Testament prophecies, they said, this is awesome. He is truly, truly our Messiah. So if you're ever witnessing to somebody and they go, well, why should we believe that Jesus is the Christ? Go, oh yeah? Well, let me show you some scriptures. Use those Old Testament prophecies that confirm that Jesus was the anointed, that Jesus is the anointed. And this whole death, burial, and resurrection thing was also prophesied. You can look in Psalm 22. You can look in Isaiah 53. But there's all sorts of other scriptures there that refer to Jesus Christ. Another thing that's talking about is Peter, James, and John was with him. And he's referring back to saying, the prophets confirm what we've been talking about. And then he's also saying, making reference back to the fact that he was on the Mount of Transfiguration when God said to His Son, this is My beloved Son. Listen to Him. This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him. And he's going, this stuff, these words of prophecy confirm that Jesus is the Christ. But, and there's that, but, it's a matter, he's saying, I got to get this right. But, know this first of all, when it comes to prophecy, any kind of prophecy of the Scripture, know this, it's extremely important to know this, that it is not a matter of persons, personal interpretation. I hear this a lot in some church circles, and they say, well, when I read the Scriptures, it says this to me, even if it says something else to you. First and foremost, we must always establish this. What does the Scriptures actually say? To whom was the prophet speaking? And what was the prophet saying when he said it? I personally do not care what you think it says. I do personally care what Jesus thought it said. I personally care what the prophet was proclaiming, because that's of God. It's not a private interpretation. Yeah, we're going to read things and we're going to view some things different, and that's okay and that's normal. But I've heard people take verses right out of context and say, this is what it means to me. And I'm going, no, you've got to keep it in its context. You've got to understand the Word of God in the context. And the Word of God is not just things that He talks about going to happen in the future. It's also every teaching from day to day that speaks to us. He's saying, it's important you nail this down right. Don't let people twist it around. Don't let people fool you as to what's going on. Got to get it nailed down right. And Jeremiah spoke to this issue also in the Old Testament. 23:16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imaginations, not from the mouth of the Lord. So when people start talking to you, make sure that the words that they're telling you are from the mouth of the Lord. It's not something that they just made up on their own. Also, make sure that what they're telling you, because sometimes they read the Scripture, and they pull it out of that context, and they say, well, this is what it means to me, and they will tell you things that's not what it says. Remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture never contradicts itself. And the Holy Spirit never leads us to do something that's contradictory to what the Bible says. I've known people that you can flip through the Bible and they'll go, "Oh, I just flip it open and whatever it says to me, I'll read that verse that I'm pointing at and I just follow through with it." Well, let me give you three verses. Three verses that you never want to follow if you put them in order. There's a verse that says Judas Iscariot went out and hanged himself. There's another one that goes right with that. It says, "Go and do thou likewise." And the third and the last one says, "Whatever you do, do it quickly." You don't want to follow those kinds of teachings. You want to make sure that what they say is what God intends it to say to us. What did God intend to say to us? How does it apply to our life? He doesn't encourage people to go out and hang themselves. He doesn't encourage us to follow those kind of teachings. And yet, most of us were alive during the time of the Jim Jones down in South America. If they'd had a true teacher there, they would have said, "Don't pay any attention to this man whatsoever. He is a false teacher." God would not require this of you, and God does not expect it of you. Get up and walk away. Go away. Have nothing to do with him. Somebody should have called him on that years ago. But now here's the scripture. I'll just refer you to it. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Genesis 12, 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you." Okay. The Lord is not telling us to get up and move to a different country. He's not telling us to do all this kind of, you know, pack your bag and baggage and jump on a plane and all. But what He is teaching, and it's not just to us, but throughout the Scriptures, again and again, He's saying, "I want you to trust Me and walk by faith. We are the children of Abraham. We are the true spiritual seed of Abraham. And just like He told Abraham, you walk and follow Me, and I will take you to the place that I want you to go." Jesus, when He went to the Father, He says, "I've got to go up there. Because when I go there, I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Paraclete. I will send you a guide who will show you how to live your life each and every day." Jesus warns us, though, at the beginning in the Gospels when He teaches us stuff, Scriptures, one of the things He said is, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests. The Son of Man has none of that." The implication is, do you really want to follow Me? Because life isn't always easy. Life is not always easy when we say, "I will follow You, Lord. I will be there for You all the way." Life is not easy when you're following Jesus. It's well worth it, but it's still not always an easy trek. And He says, make sure you count the cost. When you stand up and you say, "Yes, Jesus, I'll follow You." Remember that other scripture we quoted last week? "Whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Don't say, "I'll follow You," unless you really remember it. Because there's another scripture that says, "By your own mouth you will be judged." He'll call us up on that time and say, "Wait a minute, you said..." You wonder why you're sitting way over here is because you said you would follow Me, but when the time came, you chose to follow after other people and other teachings. You decided to go your own way. You said you would follow Me, and I had a humdinger of a life for you, and you chose not to go that way. It is true that life is best understood by looking backward, because we can see it and how God's working. But the only way that we can live a life is by going forward. We've got to walk forward in our trust and in our life with Jesus Christ. Always moving forward, and He can be calling us to go ways that we would not normally go ourselves, to step outside of the box. The fisherman one day got called and he said, "Stand up and follow Me." And they went and their whole life changed. And because of their trust in the Lord, the whole world has changed. I'll make this statement. What He said to Abraham and what He says to all of us is, "I want to take you on an adventure." Abraham didn't know where he was going, so he literally traveled the ground. He literally walked over pieces of territory. But to us, He's going, "You have an adventure to live also. I've got something that's interesting just for you, and only you will appreciate it. I don't brag on this, but this is something I did one time. I'll start it this way. Have you guys ever been on a real adventure? I mean, a real adventure. Not one of those from the bank where you get on a bus. That's a safe trip. A real adventure. I have. One day, a friend of mine from Moody and I decided, let's go hitchhiking. So we did. We went to Florida, and his dad dumped us on highway whatever that runs in front of Disney World or Disneyland or whatever it's called. Never did see it. I was just close to it because they told me, and they dumped me, and his dad said, well, and drove off. We started our adventure, and I can tell you this one thing about adventures. They're not comfortable. They're not comfortable at all whenever you're out there hitchhiking and it's pouring rain and you're sopping wet, or in the middle of the night it's cold and blowing, or you think, hey, I know a best place to stay. And this is a word of advice. If you're ever out on the road, which I advise you never to do, but if you're out on the road, do not try to sleep under an overhead. They're noisy, they're cold, and every 18-wheeler blows its horn when they see you. Going on a real adventure is scary at times, even dangerous at times. Yeah, me and my friend both got out of the car while it was still moving. They came up to a slow place, and we said, both of us at the same time said, well, this is where we get out. We grabbed our backpacks, jumped out, and the car was still rolling down the road, and they had many miles to go, so we headed off and went down to the ocean one time. And then we turned around and those same people were standing behind us watching everything we were doing. If you don't think that wasn't scary. Then we went into a crowd of people and finally got lost and came out a different way and sat up all night because we didn't know what this was going to do. But do you want to know the scariest one of all? We're outside of Philadelphia. There we were. Halfway through our trip. By the way, we was gone 28 days. Halfway through our trip. And this car pulls over. White car. T-top. Cool. We jump in. One of us in the front seat. One of us in the back seat. White car. The guy's dressed in white. Okay. We start down this road. And both of us are looking at the windshield because there reflected in the windshield was the newspaper. And the headlines was, another hitchhiker found murdered. And we're both looking at this guy dressed in white, in a white car, and we're like, uh-oh. We never said anything to each other. Come find out later, we're both plotting on how he's going to have to kill him if it push come to shove what we was going to do. And we're just driving down the road, and he said, where are you going? We told him what highway we was headed to, and he goes, hey, have you ever been to Philadelphia? And we said, no, and he just goes, he shoots down a country road we have never seen. I'm talking like around here, country road. And he's going, we're going to Philadelphia. I'm going to show you stuff. And that man took us all over Philadelphia. He said, this was where Rocky was filmed. This is the Liberty Bell. This is, you just name it. You know, all the stuff that you could see in Philadelphia. We drove by. He stopped, got hamburgers. When he got out, I said, he goes, yeah, we're ready. And the guy jumps back in the car and takes off. And we're shooting down through the country again. And in the middle of nowhere, along a country road, he stops and he says, get out. Yeah, gasp. And then he says, this is the road you want. Go that way and it'll take you where you want to. Have a good day, and drove off. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I want you to know that adventures are scary and dangerous, and you don't know what's going to go on. Even when it's Jesus leading you, it can be scary. I can tell you this, one thing about adventures is they're a lot more fun to talk about and a lot more interesting after they're over with, and you can tell what happened to you without the fear of what's going to happen to you lingering in the back of your mind. And yet Jesus calls us in the very same way. He said, I have an adventure for you. Whenever you accept Jesus' call to be a disciple or to be an adventurer, it's not going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be pleasant. There are interesting things that happen. at sometimes you're going to be really scared, and sometimes it's going to seem really, really dangerous, and oh my goodness, is it tiring to be out there on an adventure. Like I said, it makes for good stories. But think about it, because an adventure with Jesus Christ can be all these elements. I mean, even to the extreme danger of something. Hate to think of it, but you could pass away on an adventure with Jesus. He would be there to help you. But still, it's an adventure, and we've got to stop and think about it. Do I really believe all the way my Savior leads me? What have I to ask besides? It sounds great whenever we're singing those songs. But what if He really does call you on an adventure? And you don't even have to leave this area. He just says, I've got something for you. To tell the truth, if you weren't here at a business meeting, I think God has been preparing Glenwood Church for this statement. He's calling us as a church to start an adventure as a church. The adventure of renewal. We can't look back. We can look back and say, these are the great things that God has done since this church has been established. But the only way we can live is if we look forward and say, Lord, it's going to be scary. It's going to be uncomfortable at times. You're going to ask us to do things that we thought we would never do. And yet, I commit myself to you, and I will go with you no matter what you say. Just keep giving me the courage to take another step, to do another thing. Now, I will tell you this, we did make a few mistakes along the way. That's why we ended up underneath a bridge. That's why the Detroit Police Department pulled over and said, hey guys, would you like to spend the night in jail, or would you like to do your hitchhiking legally? And we said, oh, we choose legal. You just tell us what we got to do, and we will conform, because I ain't going to no Detroit jail. Mm-mm. And he said, you can't stand here. You've got to go up there and stand on that road. Then you can hitchhike. And we said, yes, sir. Sad part is, with slow learners, it happened twice. In Detroit. Like I said, slow learners. We will make mistakes on this adventure that he's calling us to. We will be trying things that might not work out. We will be trying to do things that we wouldn't think we would ever be able to do. And like I said, they can be wrong. And it's not just me. I'm not up here saying, follow me. I'm saying, we need to be praying as a church and saying, we will follow you, Jesus. And the leaders, all the leaders of the church, from the board, Sunday school, even just everybody that doesn't have the quote position, any position, you need to be praying too, not just that your leaders would lead you in the right way, but what if God is speaking to you? He spoke to Samuel when he was a little boy, remember? And finally, Eli said, well, that's God talking to you, son. Go back there and ask Him what He wants the next time He says something. And Samuel had to go to Eli after it was over with, and Eli said, what did God say? And this is the gist of it. Eli, you're in trouble. And Eli said, whatever the will of the Lord is. He was in trouble. He died later. Fell over backwards and broke his neck. Because he wouldn't corral his son and do what was right. Yep, it could be your job to say something like that is, Doyle, you're in trouble. I hope I have more sense than Eli and say, okay, excuse me, I'm going to fall on my face right here and start praying and seeking God's mercy and forgiveness and kindness and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you this, we want this church to grow. We want it to be on an adventure so that when we do look back years from now, we can say, what a wonderful story we've got to tell about Jesus leading Glenwood Church into a renewal, into a great life, into a body of believers that other churches are envious of. Life can only be lived by going forward, and Jesus is the only one that we can follow in that future life. He's the only one that I want to follow anyway, because I've had adventures and I've got lost on them. But Jesus has always been there, even on that one, to protect us, to lead us, and guide us. And we did make it, and finally I got back home safe, and I Can't say I never tried it again, but I never did that kind of hitchhiking again. But I have done a little trying to get from one place around here to the other when I didn't have gas or some such as that. But I'm just saying, think about this before you do it. But I think this is one of the things that the Lord has called us to do, is to go on an adventure with Him. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that You said that our life would be an adventure. You said that You would lead us in any place Jesus goes is going to be an adventure. Peter, James, and John and the rest of the 12 found that out before the crucifixion and even more so after the crucifixion. But I'm sure that if we had the chance to talk to Him, they'd say, wouldn't change a thing. Would not change a thing. Because Jesus was glorified, and thousands and now millions and millions of people have been saved through the ages because they were committed to Him. Father, I ask that You commit Glenwood Church to that same ideal of following You and looking forward to all this uncomfortableness and things we may have to deal with as a gift from You that will prepare us so that we can look back and say, it's been a wonderful life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.